Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
They'll buy the property from me as is for wholesale, and then I will oversee the rehab with them.
Best ever listeners, you ready to take your online advertising into the big leagues? Are you ready to get more leads? Well, how about we do all this for free? Yeah, sure, free. Well, it starts out with a free strategy session with Dan Barrett. You recognize his name, episode 565, titled Google AdWords and Cutting Edge Strategies. He's the only certified Google partner agency that works exclusively with real estate investors. That's why I'm talking about him. And he's managed over $1 million of client spend and scored an 80th percentile for or higher for best practice. Basically, he knows his stuff. And he is offering a free strategy session for 1 hour to do a deep dive with you and learn about your market and collaboratively come up with an online advertising strategy based on your target audience. And he's offering to do this for the best ever listeners. Go to adwordsnerds.com/Joe. Now, I mentioned free. Well, the strategy session is free. And then you can either take the online advertising strategy that he comes up with on the call and go implement it yourself. There you go. It's free. Or you can have him and his agency do it for you. It's a turnkey solution. And by the way, that likely will end up being free too, assuming that you're closing on the leads that he's generating for you as a result of all the efforts. Go to adwordsnerds.com/Joe. He's got some amazing stuff. Ask him about the pre-targeting for direct mail lists that he does. It's something unique to their company, and it's pretty exciting stuff. He's noticing some tremendous results as a result of doing pre-targeting. So ask him about that. AdWordsNerds.com/Joe. Best ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast. We only talk about the best advice ever. We don't get into any fluffy stuff. We've spoken to Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a whole bunch of others. With us today, Sean Holzapfel. How you doing, Sean?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing well, my friend. Nice to have you on the show. A little bit about Sean. He is an active, full-time real estate investor and licensed Indiana real estate broker based in Indianapolis, Indiana. He has wholesaled over 150 properties annually while doing a few buy and hold, fix, resell projects as his inventory and time allows. Started in 2011 with nothing and now has over $3 million in property, most with no money down bank loans. With that being said, you want to give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on?
Sure. So I just started off poor farm boy from Southern Indiana. So that's why I talk funny. And then I tried a lot of entrepreneurial stuff over the years and finally picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad for the second time in 2008. Realized I really need to do something with my life. I've been working almost 30 years by then and didn't really have any kind of long-term assets or cash flow set up. So I decided to get into the rental game and bought my first one sight unseen while I was out of the country. And that ended up halfway decent and read some more books, did some more deals, and some of them good, some were bad, and finally got the hang of things and went full time in late 2011 and haven't stopped since.
All right. Well, let's dig into this. This is fascinating stuff. Let's talk about your $3 million portfolio with most no money down bank loans. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So I typically use private funds or our own cash to purchase the property, get it rehabbed, occupied, and then once it's going to show nice and appraise good, go to a local small bank that does portfolio lending that carry their own paper and do a refi. And that typically will pay back the private lender our rehabbing and possibly a few dollars extra in our pocket. So at the end of the project, we're into it for nothing out of pocket and it still cash flows nicely.
Got it. So initially you either use your own funds to buy it or have a private lender, so a private individual or hard money lender. Then you do the improvements, you get a new valuation, you then do a loan with a portfolio lender like a credit union or a community bank, and then you get your money back out and you hold on to the property.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Can you walk us through a case study of one of those deals that would fit that mold?
Sure. So here in our area in the Midwest, prices are still fairly low compared to some of the rest of the country. So a nice, you know, bread and butter workhorse property might be built in 1960, a little 3-1 on a slab on the outskirts of town in the suburbs. Say if you pick that up as is for $35,000 and probably put $15,000 into it, so you're all in for $50,000. That's going to appraise close to $70,000. And they'll give me 75% LTV, which is loan to value. So 75% of the 70 is what you get back, which is enough to cover, you know, all your expenses. And that property will rent for $800.
Got it. Okay. Let's talk about the last deal you did. Can you give us specifics on how much you bought it for? What was the rehab budget? And just talk through that.
So right now we're just in a really simple condo. ARV is about $79,000. Bought it for $34,000. We're going to put maybe $6,000 into it. We're putting flooring, paint, appliances, countertop, fixtures, and it should be done here next week or so, and we'll put it on the market. So that's a flip that we usually don't do flips, but that's one it was hard to pass up since it was such good shape when we bought it. As far as an actual rental, an example would be, you know, pretty much the one I just said. We do a bunch of those. So you pick it up for $35,000, you put $12,000 to $15,000 into it, and it rents for $800,000, and appraisal is about $70,000.
How many of these properties do you have to equal up to $3 million?
It's about 45. And out of that, all but 6 are single family. I've got 3 duplexes, and then the rest are single family, and there's one commercial, single tenant commercial in there as well.
Okay. 45 properties, do they all have individual loans with a portfolio lender? Do you have one loan that has multiple properties? How does that work?
Yeah, when we first got started, we would just do single loans with a single property. And as we've grown with the lenders, they prefer larger amounts. it's easier for them to handle. So we'll refi a group together to take 3 or 4 single family loans and put that under one blanket commercial loan. And so that's easier to manage like that.
What lender do you use locally?
We use a local credit union, which is Crane, C-R-A-N-E. And then another one is Hendricks County Bank, and it's a small bank, a local bank as well.
And which one do you use for which type of stuff? What are pros and cons on each of them?
They offer a very similar product. The main lending person at Crane actually left and went to Hendricks County and took his good service with him. So we just followed him over there, and he's able to get us the same product that we was at the credit union with his same fast service. And, you know, they have a meeting once a week for the board, so I can call him Monday, and by Friday he can say yes or no, and within 2.5 to 3 weeks we have a check.
What are some reasons why they've told you no before, and what'd you do after that?
The only reason that would be is we just maxed out the debt ratio. You know, so we usually do that. We usually hit that around third quarter, because we buy quite a few and do quite a bit of financing. So fourth quarter, we have to kind of idle along until we get taxes done for the next year and show them we're still doing well. And then we're good to go again for another round.
What is the debt ratio that they look at?
I don't have that in front of me. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
Got it. Well, let's talk about how you've done joint ventures and work with international and local investors. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. How'd you get in touch with international investors?
Just when I first, you know, like I said earlier, my very first one, I was living in Canada, Western Canada at the time, and we bought one here in Indy, which I'm actually from Indy, or the, you know, Southern Indiana. So we, just going through that whole process of out of country, cross border process, and getting firsthand experiences has allowed me to really connect well with out of state and out of country buyers. So that's kind of my niche, is I can relate to them firsthand on some of the aches and pains that they're going through and help them walk through. They usually just find me through, you know, other networking or websites and stuff. And I can usually, once they find me, then we can find them what they're looking for typically and I work with them like that.
Any type of unique paperwork that's required?
Not really, not for the most part. The biggest thing is they have a LLC here in the U.S. if they're out of state or out of country. If they're out of state, you can have, you know, you're having an LLC pretty much anywhere that is set up to do business here in Indiana.
What about a joint venture? What's a specific example of a deal that you did a joint venture on?
Say if an out-of-state guys, they want to get into the market, but they don't have a team built yet, and they realize the value of buying an asset as is versus a turnkey. So they want to buy something as is and get it rehabbed, but they don't have the relationship with contractors and stuff. So they'll buy the property from me as is for wholesale, and then I will oversee the rehab with them and kind of work a partnership like that. So at the end of the day, they still come out ahead as far as their overall pricing is less than what a turnkey would be. And they still have someone on, you know, here on the ground that's going to look out for their best interest.
And are they usually holding that property or are they flipping it?
Sometimes, a lot of times after I point out to them that there's an opportunity there to sell to their friends back in California or wherever they're from, and they you know, they, of course, the light bulb goes off. They're like, oh, we just thinking about holding. We never thought about selling it. And if they can sell it and make a few thousand and still get it to their colleagues at a fair price that still has good cash flow, there's nothing wrong with that. And then, you know, then rinse and repeat.
And how do you structure that in that example from a joint ventureship?
For that one, we would disagree on a total rehabbed price and a wholesale price. So say if the purchase price was $35,000 as is and the project needed $20,000 in rehab, at closing they would wire the full $55,000 but only release $35,000 of it. So that would transfer the deed and all that. So they have ownership, and then the rest would be held in escrow and just released as the project came along with the last 20-25% held back until a final inspection was done.
Okay. But how do you make money on that? What are your fees? Are you 50-50 with them? Do you have fees on certain aspects of it? If so, what are those?
Yeah, for the most part, that would just be, if they're going to resell it, then we would split the resale fee or what the profit is after that. If they're going to keep it themselves, then I would just charge them a flat kind of like a supervisor fee, you know, maybe $2,500 to oversee the project or something.
Got it. Okay, cool. So 50% of the profits if it's sold, or about $2,500 or so, depending on the project, for a rehab fee to oversee it.
Right. And you know, also keep in mind, these are still $60,000 to $80,000 total projects. So they're still fairly small compared to what some people are doing.
Right. Okay. What is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Just get started. You know, I made a mistake of even after I decided I was going to do something, it was still 2 years before I actually bought my first one. And I think being scared of the unknown and just always putting it off can really, really hurt. So just get started, get in there and do a small project, get one under your belt, and it's going to suck, but get it out of the way. You know, pick yourself up, dust off, and keep moving forward.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Sure.
All right. First, a quick word from our best ever partners. Are you looking to boost your investment returns? Then MC Laubscher has a unique strategy to maximize the use of every dollar. If you're interested to learn more about infinite banking, you can request your free copy of Becoming Your Own Banker by Nelson Nash from MC. Just email MC at info@cashflowninja.com. That's info@cashflowninja.com. What's the best ever book you've read?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
What's the best ever deal you've done?
A property came on HUD one day. It was listed at 110. I offered 63 and it was accepted. I made one call to a hedge fund and offered to them for the listed price of 110, and they said yes. 25 days later, we closed on it. Did a double closing back to back, used their funds to fund the whole thing, and walked away with a good check.
How'd you get in touch with the hedge fund initially?
Just through networking and seeing them at the sheriff's sales. Also networking and get to know them.
Got it. Okay. What's the biggest mistake you've made on a deal?
Probably not going in or not spending enough time at the property and not knowing what I was looking at. So, you know, early on thinking I was a expert and I wasn't. So walk through and like, oh yeah, this is an easy fix. And after we close, get a contractor in there and finding out there's foundation issues and there's structural issues, and things can be really, really sideways quickly, especially with an older home.
You mentioned you've had some good deals, had some bad deals at the beginning, and really learned a lot. Can you tell us a story of maybe a bad deal that didn't go right and your takeaway from it?
Yeah, so there was a house we bought it for, I think it was $22,000. ARV was about $90,000. And it was occupied at an auction, so I wasn't able to get in, and which those tend to really be bad. And this was the worst one ever. it was a little 1,400 square foot house, and I think we pulled 120 yards of trash out of there, which was about $4,000 between the hoppers and labor just to get it somewhat cleaned up. And then we had several million fleas to deal with. The expenses just went on and on. And wholesale wise, it was worth probably 25. And I was into it already well over that, closer to 26, just to get it cleaned out. And held on to it for a while and just couldn't get rid of it. Ended up selling it to a local buyer and ended up eating about a $2,800 hit just to get rid of it. And when I see, you know, an asset listed as occupied, I try to put in some extra cushion because it's, you know, that's how they tend to always turn out. But that this was enough cushion. With the, you know, there was a hoarder, and then this horrible, nasty house. It was very bad.
What's the best place the Best Ever listeners can get in touch with you?
You can contact me through email is the best way to get a response. So any questions, you can, it's Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at Hoosier, that's Hoosier-solutions.com.
Sean, thanks for being on the show and sharing with us how you have scaled your real estate investing empire, how you work with the local community bank and credit unions, and the specific types of deals that you're doing, and how you're able to get financing for those deals, and lessons learned along the way, as well as how you're doing joint ventures with other investors. Tons of great, interesting stuff that will help us move along in our investing careers, and much appreciated, my friend. Hope you have a best ever day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks a lot.